Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam.
Ohtani, inevitable.
Walk off, baby. This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And on it, right? The Capella move made no sense to anyone who didn't know that this team is just all in on the fact that they're going to play a lot of those Steven Adams, Sengun lineups together. I think that is something that's, you know, coming of age more in the league these days. And, I mean, it's a good thing the Grizzlies got, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey and, that front court pairing, because they're going to need it, to say the least, when you go against the Dallas Mavs and you got Derek Lively and Anthony Davis over there, or when you're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder and they can go at you with Chet Holmgren and, you know, Isaiah Hartenstein. So it's kind of become a theme in the West. And, I mean, even you look at the Spurs, went over there and got Luke Kornet, and I'm sure we're going to see a lot of him beside – Victor Wembanyama at times. So, yeah, the double big lineup is definitely back.
DeMichael, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
That is DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we'll get into the list. We'll go through a few of the other news and notes from the rest of the league during free agency. Maybe talk a little Tiger addition as well as an addition to the schedule. We'll do all that when we come back during the second hour right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Is this loaded up? Like, is this in the system, or are you playing this?
No, this is...
I have Owl City in the system?
This is not just in the system. This is on your page.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. It's an Owl City song with Mark Hoppus.
Correct.
Okay. I just didn't realize I had loaded that one. I can see everybody screaming about that. Let's get into the list. Tiger basketball.
Yeah, this from Rocco Miller on Twitter. The Memphis Tigers will host Southern Illinois as part of its 25-26 non-conference schedule. The date is set for Wednesday, November the 26th. Hashtag the American, hashtag MVC. Also, we learned yesterday, as Cobb was mentioning during his program, what we learned yesterday, if you're listening to Jason Munz's segment on the program yesterday, keep your eye on international bigs, because he thought that was where the Tigers would be headed. And lo and behold, Cobb and I were texting. I felt like it was like maybe 20 minutes after we went off the air. The University of Memphis men's basketball program has added another major piece to its front court, announcing the signing of 7'1" South Sudanese center Simon. Is it Magic Mayock? How are we saying this?
You know, Jeffrey, I've just confidently been saying Mahawk.
Mahawk.
As if I
it's a soft J.
Know for certain. Yeah.
One of the more underrated jokes in Anchorman. It's this new activity called jogging. I don't know. Maybe it's yogging. Maybe it's a soft J. Like, yeah.
No idea. Hopefully we'll learn at some point. Hopefully Memphis knows. Hopefully Penny Hardaway knows the pronunciation. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, considering they found this guy in late June after the Dane Danger waiver was denied. But hey, he's 7'1". You know, there's some videos on Twitter of him shooting threes. So, yeah, let's get excited.
According to the press release, how are we saying it? We're going to say Mahawk. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
All right. Mahawk brings elite size, upside, and international experience to the Tigers after spending the past three seasons developing in the Serbian professional system with KK Real. That was 1K away from being a real problem. Let's see. KK Real Beograd. Okay. Which competes in the Serbian Priva Muska Regionalna Liga. So I'm going to say that's the Serbian Regional League. Known for his rim protection, rebounding, and growing offensive skill set, Mahak is expected to be a force in the paint for Memphis.
I hope so at 7 foot one.
We also, Gob and I were joking yesterday, and he's like, hang on, I'm going to go into, wait, what's the system? The
Synergy. I'm going into Synergy
to find the eight plays, and I wanted to be like, I want the under. There's no way a single one of those plays was locked.
Jeffrey, there is not a single play of Simon.
The cop was like, yep, you're right. Never mind. There was zero.
That means one of two things here. It means they have discovered a gem that nobody else had the ingenuity to go and find in Europe. It either means that, or it means that this guy is just massively unproven and probably won't bring you a lot. Maybe we'll split the difference there, but I'm afraid if it's one of the two, it's probably the latter of the two.
And the reality is, they need depth. I don't think they're bringing him in to be the man. Like, that's why they got Bradshaw. They need depth, and they needed some front court help, and he provides that. But this was the thing that I wanted to discuss with you, because Munz and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but I do not recall. Was it Enes Kanter that tried to play at Kentucky, but he had played professionally in Turkey, was it?
Right.
And I don't think did he ever get to play at Kentucky? I remember there being there being the whole, like, Cal was doing his PR thing. But it used to be, if you were in these professional leagues and you came over here, you couldn't play. And now, is there like a limit to what you can and can't do? Because I was noticing this during the draft. It seems like now these guys that have been playing professionally overseas, they can come over. Not that I ever had a problem with it. That just felt to me like a significant development that I would have felt like we should have brought more attention to, but I feel like it just kind of happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, because there's been a huge influx of international talent to college basketball, particularly in this cycle. I mean, it's become more and more common over the last decade, but with all the front-loading of the NIL deals that some of these teams are able to do, they're specifically before the House settlement went into effect, the 25-26 college basketball rosters are flooded with international players because the schools were able to make it really attractive to them financially to come over and play. But to your point, what is that threshold of you can only make so much internationally before you're ineligible to come play in the NCAA? I don't know what that amount is, but you can be in a professional organization over there, make some sort of money, and still be eligible to play in the NCAA. In fact, I mean, you're seeing some instances of guys who are 21 years old, who are quote freshmen this upcoming season in college basketball, after making like somewhat legitimate money overseas in a way that they couldn't a decade ago. What exactly changed there, or where that line is drawn, I'm not sure, but there's definitely a difference now. You bring up Kanter, like a lot has changed since Enes Kanter.
Okay, so according to George, you found Atir Majuk.
Yeah, played for UConn and I think the Lakers for a little bit there.
Okay, so we're just assuming because it reads the same that it's pronounced the same?
And the fact that they're both from South Sudan.
Okay, so we're going to say, according to the pronunciation guide, it's Majuk.
Okay.
I was looking for anywhere else to see where they're.
You didn't find anything else, not
even a YouTube video I could look at.
You didn't find the pronunciation guy for the Serbian Priva Muska Regionalna Liga?
Can take a look, but.
Hey, man, did you know Marko Gudurić played in that league?
That sounds about right. When I was reading the name of that league, my daughter has gotten into. We're at the Mickey Mouse Funhouse, Clubhouse. Miska Maska, something like that's how he brings up the clubhouse. That's all it made me think of reading that. I was like, was Mickey about to start reciting a spell to bring up his clubhouse?
Goodness, Disney's just spewing that Serbian propaganda.
Yeah. Let's see. In seven appearances last season, he averaged 17.3 points, 9 rebounds, 2.6 blocks, 1.9 assists, 1.3 steals in over 30.7 minutes while shooting an efficient 66.7%. If you're putting up those kind of numbers, shouldn't you have more than seven appearances?
Well, he aged out. You can't play in that league past a certain age point. So he was only able to play with them for a portion of their season. And they're actually like their win-loss record got worse once he exited because he aged out and he was their best player and they weren't as good after he was gone. I went so far yesterday as to find some Serbian news outlets and put some of the text from the articles on this guy into Google Translate. And boy, let me tell you, the reviews from the Serbian sports news outlets are really high.
Glowing.
glowing reviews of Simon Majak.
What was your AI of choice to translate?
Well, I just used Google Translate.
There we go.
I'm actually on the Gemini train right now. Although I did ask ChatGPT just now kind of about what we were talking about, like how much can you make overseas and still be eligible to play college basketball? And here's kind of what they say. ChatGPT probably sculled, you know, what, 10 or 15 internet sources for this. A U.S. college player can sign an NIL deal with a European brand. So I think that might be part of it, too. Some of these European guys, they come over and play in the States,
yeah.
But they're, you know, maybe getting some compensation. Some of the compensation might actually still be coming from Europe. And so you're allowed to be a part of a European professional organization. They can cover your room, board, and travel, but where it gets murky is if you sign a contract and are getting paid a salary by a European club, you're not supposed to still be eligible to come and play college basketball. My question on this, Jeffrey, what appetite and ability does the NCAA have to enforce that? Because I'm fairly certain that in this cycle, there have been guys who have made real money playing in Europe who are coming to college basketball now because they can make more money in college ball.
Well, I mean, I think also if the settlement is now law, we have revenue sharing. The schools are going to be paying kids directly.
Yeah, it's going to get harder in the future. I think my theory on this is that we are seeing the highest point of the arc in terms of the amount of international talent that's going to be in college basketball. Because moving forward, the NIL deals are, we don't think, going to be as rich in the future because this was a one-year blip with all the front-loading on the NIL stuff pre-house. And then you also have the complication of if you're getting paid by the university, which
right.
you will be through revenue sharing, there's student visa implications there that a lot of red tape and you know, what does that look like to be paid by the university as an international student? Like there's a lot of hurdles there.
Right, because if you're on a student visa, you're not supposed to be able to work.
Yeah, so this whole thing's about to get convoluted. But hey, they got this guy in, they needed him, so I mean, we'll see what he can do.
And I know this is not new, because Danny White has been saying this for a while, but it feels like it's picking up steam, and maybe it's picking up steam because nobody else has anything to write about at this time. What do you make of Danny White being, it feels like, the most public college official that is actively campaigning for collective bargaining?
Yeah, it seems like within the last week or so, there's been some more momentum on that front with people saying the quiet part out loud, which is like, come on, like we got to get to collective bargaining. I haven't necessarily seen specifically what Danny White says, but the state of Tennessee in general is already pushing hard against any sort of cap on third-party NIL because Tennessee feels like it has the resources to go out and compete for talent at the highest level. They don't want to be capped at a certain amount and have to prove the legitimacy of
right.
these NIL deals because, I mean, let's be real. If Pilot pays a football player at Tennessee $50,000, like that player is not going to do $50,000 worth of marketing for Pilot. It's not going to be a real NIL deal. You know what I mean? So, I mean, let's just go ahead and cut to the chase here and make these athletes employees. I mean, it would just be easier for everyone.
I've never understood the pushback because if we distill what the schools are worried about, see if you agree with this. In the end, don't you think what their biggest concern is going bankrupt, right?
Yeah, it's always about the money.
Right. It has never made sense to me why they're actively pushing against collective bargaining because
you hold the chips.
All of them.
Yes.
Like, what is the four major professional sports? So the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL. Which of the players associations consistently is the weakest. It would be the NFL. Why? 53-man rosters. And Aaron Rodgers' desires are very different than the deep snapper. The deep snapper just wants to be able to play. And so the
Shout out Morgan Cox.
Shout out Morgan Cox, baby. But like even Morgan signed a new deal as well. So he's going on for like year. See, Morgan's 2 years older than I am. So he's 39.
He's old.
God, it's good work if you can get it.
Older than you? My gosh.
Well, not only that, Morgan and his dad were so smart. Do you remember back in the day when Phil Fulmer did the special teams? You have the Phil Fulmer football camp, but he had a special camp for specialists. And that's why Tennessee always had great special teams. Well, Morgan had been going up there since he was like 12.
It's brilliant.
And that's how Morgan got to Tennessee, and then obviously having long career with the Ravens and the Titans. So shout out to Morgan. Think about it in college sports. Even if you distill it down to each sport, because I think the way that you're going to have to do it, I think every sport's going to have to be like siphoned off as its own entity. I don't think you can do college sports as one thing, because then you run into this situation. Well, is the swimming team going to opt into revenue sharing? Because I would advise against that, because if it's based on the revenue you produce, well, you're not producing revenue, and then you're going to have to share in the, listen, we call it revenue sharing from a branding perspective, but it would also be loss sharing.
No doubt. I mean, those programs should be operated on athletes getting scholarships.
Correct.
That's
a value. And so I've never understood the pushback. You are going to win every one of these negotiations. Now, I think this is also true. When you get most of this argument comes from like the far left of they just don't want to make them employees. Okay, there is clearly resistance to that. I'm not denying that.
Well, I mean, there's also far right resistance to with a union. With a union, right?
Yeah, but this would be my other point. If you're a player, are you upset with the way things are?
You have freedom of movement. You can
negotiate
in the cash. There's no limit. I mean, it's
Cobb. You and I both know this is true. Like they don't get out frequently, but there are guys that'll have one big week and go and try to negotiate a new salary.
Oh, it's insane, and it happens all the time. It happens in the middle of the season. It happens before the bowl game, before the playoff. It happens before the NCAA tournament. But if you collectively bargain, it could be so beneficial for the schools, because you could build
in mechanisms. That's my point. If I'm the schools, I'm with Danny White here. Like, they should be pushing for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It makes no sense. It is going to be a collective bargaining agreement that is heavily tilted to you, because you can't organize that many players.
Within the union, athletes are coming in and out every single year. There's not going to be any sort of steady, continuous leadership within a college sports union, and they desperately need you. They desperately need you to get to where they want to go. I mean, the high-level athletes who are going to have the leverage in these leverage in these situations, they're looking to use college sports as a springboard. So they're not going to strike or sit out and ruin their chances of proving themselves on the collegiate playing field and ruining their chances of getting looked at by professional scouts. It's only a matter of time, and I'm glad to see that some of the brighter minds are coming around and saying it publicly that, you know, we need to have this be a collectively bargained situation.
No, I'm with you entirely. Netflix. So this is from my buddy Ryan Glassbeagle, who's now at Front Office Sports. ESPN, Fox, reluctant to share talent with Netflix for Christmas NFL games. According to Ryan, Netflix may have to make some adjustments to its Christmas wish list this year. Good open, Ryan. Some rival networks are bristling at the idea of lending their on-air talents to the streaming behemoth for this year's holiday doubleheader, sources tell Front Office Sports. When the Commanders face the Cowboys and the Vikings play the Lions on Christmas Day, ESPN talent won't appear on the Netflix presentation of the games, sources said. Fox talent is not expected to appear either. Things could change in the event that Netflix agrees to the terms that the networks have demanded. ESPN talents ESPN's talent who worked last year's Netflix slate included Laura Rutledge and Mina Kimes. Fox denied a request to announce, or denied account, excuse me. Fox denied a request for its top announced team of Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt, but eventually relented to allow Greg Olson to work as a color commentator. Amazon, which did not have any NFL talents on the Netflix game last year, has a Christmas game of its own this year, Chiefs and Broncos. God, thanks be to the commish. A Christmas triple header? Yes! It would therefore logistically not be able to lend its talent for the holiday. CBS produced the games for Netflix last year and lent talents including Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt, Nate Burleson, and Gene Steratore. CBS is producing the games for Netflix again this year, and the expectation is that a number of its talents will be on the 2025 Christmas telecast. Spokespeople for ESPN, Fox, CBS, and Netflix declined to comment. Spokespeople for Amazon did not immediately respond to a request. There have been several reasons why networks like ESPN and Fox wouldn't want their talents appearing on Netflix. It's been widely speculated that the NFL could opt out of its rights agreement with its partners in 2029, and that Netflix could be in contention for a bigger package. Rival outlets don't want to help Netflix gain a leg up in the process. Okay.
Don't blame them at all. Why would you willingly, freely give your talent to the competition when they might be trying to encroach on your most valuable product?
Oh, I'm with you entirely. What I'm trying to decide is, should we want Netflix to win one of these packages? Because
I don't want to have to subscribe to Netflix again. I mean, I bum off of, like, you know, the neighbor.
I bum off enough. Talk to me afterwards. I don't think there's a streaming package I don't have, which is a problem.
In addition to your satellite dish, you still have all the streamers?
Cobb, how old's Rosie?
What do you pay a month in total television access?
All right. This is a bad
number.
We
need to have an intervention here. You need to download like Rocket
Money. This feels like the Rocket Mortgage ad. All right. I believe DirecTV, which is tied to my internet, I want to say that's about $220 a month.
Golly, man.
So
you're getting, yeah.
We have the ESPN, Hulu, Disney bundle.
It's another roughly 15 or 20 there.
All right. Netflix. I don't have the basic Netflix. Like, I don't have
still 15 or 20.
I think it's 15 a month. All right. So there were Paramount is what? I think I do the Paramount up front. I know you get it for free, but I do Paramount up front. I want to say it's like 60 a year. Does that sound right?
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's a great value. Good investment there. Keep that one.
Max is included with DirecTV.
What a deal.
FanDuel is through DirecTV, so I don't pay for that. What other streamers would be? Apple. What do I pay for Apple? I don't know.
Oh, have you watched the new golf show on Apple?
Started it last night. Stick.
Is it good?
I don't want to give out spoilers. I'll tell you this. I watched 4 episodes like that.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it might be worth it.
But there's something happening in these shows now that I'm not cool with, and I think it's becoming a frequency, but I don't want to... For those that haven't watched it, I don't want to spoil it, but I'll tell you offline. There's something that's uncomfortable. It's very watchable. It's a little absurd, but I got to be honest. The kid's got a hell of a move with his golf swing.
Yeah, that's to me. It's like the golf swing has to be realistic. The presentation of the sport has to be aesthetically pleasing to me.
He's got a good move.
Okay.
He has one of those very technical, modern, like, drop it. Like, he shallows the club out.
Matthew Wolf.
Yeah, but he doesn't get as vertical. But the golf swing, Matt, like, that's a big problem with the Legend of Bagger Vance. Like, the golf swing's so terrible. But, yeah, his swing's very solid. There's a little bit of absurdity, like, if you know the golf world, but it is not distracting. There's enough of an understanding of golf that it's somewhat realistic. Solid watch.
All right, I'm sold.
I'm going to say
I'll
spend
the $6 a month for it.
I'm going to say probably $3 to $3.50 a month to watch content.
Yeah, that's not good, man.
Yeah, but like, what else am I going to do? But like, I don't know, because there's this other idea of
you could get Fubo, man, for half that and have everything, almost everything that you mentioned.
We've gone through this. My television works. And it's even like the rep that satellite, like, I don't even have a problem in the rain anymore. It's been so solid. I can't. I'm a DirecTV guy.
You mean it's 2025 and you can watch TV in the rain, man?
Correct.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you this.
Peak.
It'll be me and DirecTV in the foxhole together. Like, we'll be it. Like, the Red Army and the Yanks will be surrounding us, and we'll just be right there in the foxhole. Like, we're going down swinging. Like, I'm with you till the very bitter end. But like, I'd rather go. Oh, Peacock! I got the cock too. There we go.
Well, you didn't even mention ESPN Plus.
Yeah, well, that's the bundle.
So that's the
Hulu, sure, Disney, yeah. ESPN bundle plus. Would he rather it be on, if it's all going to streaming anyway, would you rather it be on Netflix versus having to buy the new ESPN app, whatever it is, flagship or whatever, I think they're just calling it like, would you rather it be, like, one thing I'll say about Netflix, it always works.
Yeah, that's true. That is a huge plus in the Netflix category. Because those Christmas Day streams last year actually stayed live, and the picture was clear, and it wasn't.
I think the only time they had an issue. What was the big fight that they did on Thanksgiving? Was it Mayweather Paul?
I'm not in that world, but yes, there was. I believe there were some issues there.
Like that one was a big problem. But like. The biggest problem that I have with the streamer, so like, I have to use it for Sunday Ticket. If one of the games that you want to watch is the local game. So normally, like, let's be real, Titans games have not exactly been an exciting watch. But if you want to watch whatever the Fox game is, or occasionally there have been, you know, when the Titans have a bye week or whatnot, the Titans aren't on WREG. If you want to watch that, you have to put it on a separate television from whatever you're watching on YouTube or YouTube TV. Like, you can't watch those concurrently. That's the biggest problem I have, is like, but also it's like, are we really ready to be in a universe? It feels like if they put the regular Sunday 2 o'clock or noon package on Netflix, that feels one step closer to making the Super Bowl pay-per-view, and you know that's Goodell's wet dream.
Oh, wow.
You know he can't wait to do that.
To me, like, I make fun of you for being all in on DirecTV, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist in that I don't want to see the linear network starved of the only thing that's keeping them alive, which is, at this point, is live sports. So if I'm CBS or Fox or...
Did you know this? I was telling George this last week. I think I read it from Puck. Fox Network has 3 hours of scripted television for the entire fall layout.
I mean, all the good shows are now on streaming platforms.
Like,
so it, back in the day, it was like, oh man, I gotta watch The Office. It used to come on what, every Thursday at 7 on NBC? Like, I haven't had.
Well, NBC used to also have comedy. Like, NBC used to have things that would make you laugh.
Yeah, I haven't sought to watch a network television show at an appointed time on a weeknight in 15 years.
I think the last
How
I Met Your Mother is the last network one that I really watched.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the only thing I'm watching on the networks is live sports. That's it.
No, I'm with you
in
that.
News. Like, sometimes I watch the news. Sometimes.
I'm with you in the sense that nothing worse, though, of I had it happen this weekend. When you're watching golf and you're like casually paying, you're like, no. You're casually paying attention and it's the Rocket Classic, not the Rocket Mortgage Classic. And you realize that it's ended and you immediately watch the news and it's like, boom, here's quickly three murders. And he's like, oh, God. It's like, you got to be quick on the draw there. You got to make sure, like, you cannot hang on a network when the newscast is coming up, like, more than, like, 7 seconds. It will depress you.
That's a good point. Yeah, you know, once Max Gracerman and Aldridge Pottgeater get done with their playoff, you got
to and Chris Kirk.
And Chris Kirk.
We had a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 40-year-old in a playoff that lasted entirely too long.
And a 20-year-old one.
Yeah.
Womp, womp. Isn't it funny? I was watching the U.S. Open, and Adam Scott in his 40s was making this run. And when I was 19 or 20, I would have thought, man, who is this old guy out here trying to compete with the young bucks? Like, get out of here. But now that I'm advancing in years, I'm like, wow, look at this 40-year-old man. What a hero out there playing with the young guys. I'm rooting for Adam Scott.
Well, no, it's like I said this last week. We had David Riley, who's the Washington State coach. And as I was doing the research for the interview, I realized he's younger than I am. Like, that's always a bananas. Like, and he's been a head coach for multiple years.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you realize, like, Sean McVay got the Rams job at like 31?
Yeah, Kiffin was 30, I think, when he got the Raiders job.
Yeah, like, I cannot imagine being younger than a lot of the guys that you're trying to coach, especially like when many of those guys would love to rip your head off.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have Brett McMurphy doing important work. We got first bowl projections, but more importantly, we got our first look at the college football playoff. We'll tell you who's projected to go where. We'll do that next. Right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Hate doing cardio?
Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, Cobb, we got a real problem here. So Brett McMurphy has gone over to On3. And so for those that are not out there today in the team site world, On3 and Rivals, which On3 bought out Rivals, I don't know, feels like about a month and a half ago. I feel like it was sometime around the SEC baseball tournament. And today is the day that the merger happens. So Brett McMurphy's bowl projections are over now at On3, but they've put them behind the paywall, and I can't log in because while I have a Rivals account, I don't have a On3 account, and it's not recognizing. I don't sign in with Rivals with an email address. I sign in with a username.
I did see where Shannon Terry tweeted that they're moving everybody over, so maybe you're just getting moved over.
Yeah, I can't log in.
Well, I can run down the list of who McMurphy's got in the playoff if you want it.
Okay, so George was telling me the bracket was on the graphic. I'm seeing someone that had said F your paywall, and they went to Grok, and Grok summarized the article. So let's see if these match up. Show me what you got.
Okay. All right. So I have the list of teams 1 through 12.
Okay.
That's what I have. So I got Notre Dame at number one. So he's starting off with a flamethrower there. Penn State 2, Georgia 3, Ohio State 4, Texas 5, Clemson 6, Alabama 7, LSU 8, Oregon 9, Miami 10, Utah 11, and Boise State from the G5 at 12.
Okay, so Grok, the screenshot that I saw is wrong because it summarized it as Texas number 1, Oregon 2, Georgia 3, Miami 4, Ohio State 5, Penn State 6, Notre Dame 7, LSU 8, Alabama 9, Ole Miss 10, Boise 11, Navy 12.
Grok is wrong. The graphic maker for On3 is correct.
Okay. I don't like bowl projections going behind the paywall.
A Navy would be, that would be,
well, that would have been two G, that would have been two,
two group of five schools.
Two G5s.
Yeah, we didn't let that happen in 2025.
Is Grok a G5?
Stan?
Yeah. Are we pushing
or,
for these G5s?
Well, I wonder if the person that asked is a G5 Stan, because doesn't Grok just kind of like tell you what you want to hear?
I think it depends how specific you ask the question.
Yeah.
I mean, that computer's down there on Industrial Island or whatever, in that old Electrolux factory. We could just go ask it.
Grok.
Feed
it, but we're not running Grok. We're running XAI. I understand Grok is the marketing version of Twitter's AI, but is that what we're running?
Something's taking up all the power grid from the MLGNW.
It's a great question.
Let me tell you what one of the more annoying debates we've had in a long time. It's like, hey, people, I don't know if you've looked around. We need money.
Yeah. I've been following that.
Yeah, that one is lot of good takes being wasted on that one. Okay, so read me what the graphic had again.
George, take this if you still have it pulled up.
I can grab it real quick.
Notre Dame 1.
Yep.
Right?
It is Notre Dame 1, Penn State 2, Georgia 3, Ohio State 4, Texas 5, Clemson 6, Alabama 7, LSU 8, Oregon 9, Miami 10, Utah 11, and Boise State 12.
Yeah, that's what I've got. So you got four SEC schools, but only three from the Big Ten. Notre Dame at 1? Man, that's a large jump in my mind with a freshman quarterback, a redshirt freshman quarterback in CJ Carr, and a new defensive coordinator as well. I just don't know if I see that.
So what I actually think is interesting is, who would you say of the returning quarterbacks you have the most faith in?
Yeah, I think it's probably Drew Aller.
Okay, that makes one of us.
Because, well, it's what he's surrounded by. I mean, you got two 1,000-yard rushers back.
I think I trust Cade more. Here's the debate I'm having about Cade. I think Cade clearly got better last year, but what I can't determine is if Cade just got into the ACC schedule.
I think that's what it is. It's competition.
But he did play pretty well. His second half against Texas was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was a desperation mode. Like, hey, we're just
chunk it. Yeah, and we're behind.
Texas is sitting in soft coverage, just trying to survive. I don't take too much stock in that performance. Aller's second year with Andy Kotelnicki, they actually upgraded at receiver. That's the under-discussed
part. Well, if they got a
Penn
receiver,
State.
They upgraded.
Yeah, right, and they did.
But he did also lose his number one safety blanket.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have Tyler Warren at tight end, but he actually has receivers. He's got a great offensive line protecting him. He's got two of the best running backs in the country in the backfield. So the one here that I'm actually, Jeffrey, really skeptical on out of the Big Ten. Not long term. I think Oregon's going to be fine over the long haul. Dan Lanning's got them going in the right direction, but I don't know that Oregon's a playoff team. They are the fourth or fifth, like of all the Power Four teams in college football, they are fourth or fifth lowest in returning production. They've got an unproven quarterback now in Dante Moore. And I mean, they're just going to be really banking on the internal development because he stacked some good recruiting classes, but they didn't bring in a ton from the portal. So it's a lot of guys that signed to play with Oregon that have not gotten a lot of game reps yet, who they're going to be leaning on pretty hard over the course of this season.
So I don't necessarily disagree because I'm with you. Like, Dante Moore is talented, but we've never seen him like really put it together. And again, it was a freshman year at UCLA. Like, I get it. The way that you feel about Oregon, and I can't tell if this is me just being a hater, I kind of feel about Georgia. And it has less to do with what's around at Georgia. It's I just cannot really believe that they are saying Gunnar Stockton is the answer.
Well, with Mike Bobo. I mean, I think Mike Bobo is such an uninspiring play caller. You pair him with Gunnar Stockton, and at best, you're getting mediocre results. Thus, you need your defense to be elite. And that defense was not elite last year.
Well, they were elite when they were healthy. But what has clearly hurt Georgia, in my opinion, is they do not have the depth that they had 3 or 4 years ago, where you can they can afford losing one guy up front, a linebacker, because they're just stacking in another. Like, when they would, like the Texas game, the first Texas game in Austin, when they were like full bore, everybody was there ready to go, like that defense was still elite. It's just that defense showed up maybe 2 games last year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not what it was when they won back-to-back titles and they had Lanning at coordinator and a bevy of future Philadelphia Eagles all throughout that defense. I mean, it's just not that. That defense is not that.
But honestly, what's the internal slack saying going to happen to Retzlaff?
Where's he going to go?
That's what I'm asking.
No, I mean,
so
I don't know.
Clearly they settled because the complaint or whatever, the lawsuit was withdrawn.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't think you can just decide to transfer and be eligible. So he's going to have to sit out a year. And then hope that somebody...
Is he a graduate?
Oh, gosh. Was he a graduate? I mean, maybe there's a loophole.
I thought if you're a graduate...
Are you trying to get Jake Retzlaff to Georgia?
Yes.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I would have more faith.
I don't know, man. I don't care that
Gunnar Stockton's a good dog. I watched him play. He can't play.
He's from Rabun County.
Yeah, that's great. And also, it's made me weirdly... I understand the people that don't like Carson Beck's personality. I think Miami, like, if Miami had just the computer calling plays on game day, I would have faith in Miami, but instead they have Cristobal on game day.
Yeah, they also have a new defensive coordinator, and hopefully that helps. A little surprised to see two ACC teams in here. I mean, it's not unforeseeable. It happened last year, but...
So Clemson and Miami don't play. So theoretically, if Miami... Let's say Miami loses to Notre Dame week one, but they're 11-1, and they meet up with Clemson, who's 11-1. Do both get in? Like, let's say Clemson loses the Battle of Death Valley, which admittedly is putting a lot of faith in LSU... But I'm just going ahead and saying this, like, I'm going to bet on LSU and lose for like the fourth straight year under Brian Kelly week one. But let's say LSU does win the Battle of Death Valley and they both run the table. Do they both get in? Like they meet in the ACC championship game. Are both teams in?
Yeah, I think so, because if SMU got the benefit of the doubt, then I think Miami or Clemson certainly would. And Miami and Clemson will at least have beaten somebody. I mean, SMU got in without beating anybody. I mean, their schedule last year was so light, and they still got the benefit of the doubt. So, yeah, I think in those circumstances, a two-loss Miami or a two-loss Clemson, they're getting in.
All right, let's take one more break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeff Ferret and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story,
Have you happened to go over on YouTube and seen Joel Klatt sit down with Tony Petitti?
Oh, no. What's Tony got to say?
Well, Tony was asked why he was defending the soccer formation, the 4+4+2+2+1 mm-hmm. plan. And here was his explanation. The alternative to this system is expanding the field and giving the committee more to do. If you go to 16 and you have 11 at-larges, you've just added even more decision-making. The answer is, well, at that point, it just gets to be easy because you'll cover everybody. No, because the more spots you put into the system, the more difficult decisions you're facing. Listen, we don't want to give the committee more work. They might pick the teams we don't want to pick.
I actually kind of agree with them.
No, I do agree with... listen, Brett McMurphy said it on our show a couple of weeks ago. The problem with the BCS wasn't the computer rankings. The problem was they just picked two.
Exactly. I think that's well said.
And also the BCS worked. I will go to my... Dan Wetzel, I'll write my own book. The BCS worked. There wasn't a single undeserving national champion once.
Yeah, but Auburn got snubbed.
No, they didn't get to play... Like, they didn't play USC. They didn't have to. They got to claim they got snubbed when the year before we saw the same two teams play and they got beat 30-6 at home.
All right.
BCS worked. Stand by it. All right, my man. Happy 4th.
Yeah, man. Same to you. Good talking.
That is David Cobb of CBS Sports. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is up next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.